And then I hear the door open and I turn around. In my mind, it's slow motion, me turning. And then he walks in, immediately sees me. Hi, I'm Tom, puts his hand out. Mm-hmm. And I go, yes, I know, Tom. I am Gloria.
Tom Cruise is the greatest movie star of all time. He's the first actor to have six consecutive $100 million grossing films. He's shrouded in mystery and yet to many is one of the nicest and hardest working people. We love Tom Cruise. We are inspired by Tom Cruise. And while we work in Hollywood, we've never actually met Tom Cruise. So we're going to talk to some people who have. We'll hear some great stories and maybe, just maybe, one of them one day will lead us to the man himself so that we can have stories of our own. Our own stories of meeting Tom Cruise.
Good afternoon, good evening, and good night. Welcome to Meeting Tom Cruise, the podcast. My name is Jeff Meacham. I am your host, and here with me as always is my co-host, better yet, my wingman. He's the Raymond to my Charlie Babbitt. He's the lions to my lambs. And of course, he's the goose to my Maverick. He's Joel Johnstone. Joel, how you doing?
It just gets better every goddamn week.
And of course, also with us is the rainy cloud on our sunny day. You know, he's the whitewash we fly through that crashes our F-14 Tomcat. He's Alec Lev. Alec, are you up for ruining our day?
Sure.
Okay. You know what? I've been thinking about Tom Cruise this week, and I've been thinking.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, just a little bit. A little bit. And look, we've all been watching his movies because of this podcast. And
only because of this podcast.
That's only for
easy.
You.
Easy.
Not me.
Easy.
That's how I wake up. Tom Cruise movie. And I put myself to sleep with a Tom Cruise movie. Look, we've watched basically all of his movies at this point. And yep. I know we all saw Legend when we were kids. And I liked Legend when I was a kid.
I did, yes.
Right? You did too, right?
Yeah.
Boy, did that one take a nosedive.
Ooh.
That one stings now, watching that one again.
Yeah. You know what else I liked when I was a kid? I liked digging a hole with mud and eating it. But as an adult, I don't like that anymore.
Yeah.
Watching Legend as an adult is worse.
Look, people love to do their best, but there's lots of lists of the Tom Cruise best and worst movies. And I have seen a fair amount of lists where they like to put Cocktail as his worst movie. First off,
no.
There are
Cocktail is Citizen Kane compared to Legend.
I mean, a lot of people like Cocktail. I love that. Legend is, I never use this word, unwatchable.
Unwatchable.
Give us
and
your give
unwatchable.
It, yeah. But you know, we have to remember it's a first time filmmaker. Who directed it?
Oh, with
Ridley
something.
Scott.
Yeah,
who
Ridley
is coming
Scott.
Off Alien and Blade Runner? And here's what I think. Here's what I go. Ayahuasca was involved,
right? Some kind of drug.
You could not have made that movie not in an altered state.
It right off the bat makes no sense.
No sense. The opening crawl. Goes on for 17 minutes.
There's good versus bad and evil versus good.
And you're melt as you're watching it. You're sinking into the. I can't. You're sinking as you're trying to read the movie. You're trying to read this movie to start out with.
We will never do this again. We will never dump on a Tom Cruise movie
Ever, ever, ever.
No.
Look, I'm going to defend Cocktail in a later episode.
Yeah,
but
I have a very special place in my heart for Guy, and I just watched it again recently. There are so many entertaining parts.
Fine.
Nothing. Except for Mia Sara in the black dress with
Beautiful.
The weird Tim Curry
she
devil.
Is easy to look at. But I mean, even the costumes and the hair and makeup are terrible. The trolls, I had little kids taking candy bars from our porch last fall that looked more believable than the trolls or goblin-y characters in the goddamn movie. Like it was awful.
What happens with the unicorn? Why?
She just wanted to see it.
And meanwhile, these guys are shooting at her,
yeah,
and
it's her
she
fault.
Gets
but
blamed.
It was a misunderstanding. She thought because she touched it, but it was just simultaneous with them shooting it with the... Why am I explaining Legend?
Oh,
it's
what?
Awful.
Here's a couple names for you. Their names are Gump, Blix, Screwball, Brown Tom, that sounds racist, Pox, Blunder, and my favorite, Meg Mucklebones.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
These are character names. Meg Mucklebones. Who made that up? A four-year-old? I'm sorry.
You and the joy when you click the remote and you can see there's only 3 minutes left. Because you've been clicking under the remote the whole way through. How much time is there left in this fucking thing?
Yep.
And then the 3 minutes, I could do it. I could do another three. I watched it straight through. I didn't stop. Could you?
Of course not. I had to
pour four more bourbon.
I had to wash the dishes and then stab myself in the toe. Here's the tagline they put on the poster.
I got one. Don't waste your time.
Our guest this week is the wonderful Gloria Calderon Kellett. But first, let's get to the question of the week. Alec.
The question of the week is, would you want to be as famous as Tom Cruise? Jeff Meacham.
I mean, my instinct is to quickly say no. No, I would not want to be that famous.
Why?
Security guards, right? Malin Ackerman said that. She was like, remember that was the first thing she said about the house.
It's a beautiful house, security guards. And
yeah, like that's,
yeah.
I don't want that. I need some privacy. I don't know. The idea that they have to be there 24/7. Oh, all the things, just right off the bat, the paparazzi, the scandals, you know, anything that you do. Just
oh my God, Jeff's scandals.
Oh, my scandals,
Joel,
would be awful.
What would happen?
Mine would be my scandals would all be based around my eating habits and my food problems.
Just like, a lot of pictures of you with bags of cookies.
Yeah. Bags of cookies.
3:30 in the morning, him just rummaging 7-Eleven.
Always,
like,
that's how they find
him.
Well, through 7-Eleven's dumpster.
He just find me again. They're just like, well, here's Jeff Meacham again at Panda Express. And it's been a real problem for him with the orange chickens.
That's part of my fear about getting super, super famous. I wonder if I might go the Brando route and I just hit even just that remote fame and then just become a fat giant, like just lazy.
I need a kangaroo and fruit pops in my trailer.
I just need a Chinese buffet morning, noon, and night in front of me.
Those are people. Chinese people. Are you done with the pizza?
I want you to bring me a cow, a live cow, and stuff it with brownies. And then I want you to bake that cow in a deep fryer and stuff it inside of a turkey. I want to buy an island, but I want the island made of pancakes.
I call it Thousand Island.
Just to be that famous, I don't want to get married that many times. I like my wife a lot. Like, I like being married to her. I don't want to have to then be like, end that, meet someone else, get married, work out all the logistics with my lawyer. It's just too much.
Yeah.
You know, I think people that are successful and driven to the point like Tom Cruise, they don't shut it off.
They can't turn it off. That's what everybody talks about. They talk about this can't turn it off thing, and not just Cruise. There's a few others. But right, Joel?
I happily turn it off.
Watch. I just turned it off. Did you guys see that?
You turned it off.
But again, I hear about those A types, and I don't want to be that A type. I don't want to work crazy hours where I'm away from my family.
You know, crazy hours. You don't want to work 9 to 5.
I don't want
to
work.
Could you imagine?
No.
Have you ever worked 9 to 5?
No, but that's been my goal in life, to not work 9 to 5, unless I'm on a television show.
Because I would love to be as wealthy as Tom Cruise, but I would not want to be as famous as Tom Cruise. I am not one of those actors who's like, no, I'm in it for the craft, because then I'd probably be a better actor. But I'm not. Joel, I mean, what was your first instinct?
First thing is like, more famous.
Really? Really?
No. I've seen it. I've seen it up close, you know, to 8 rows in front of me. And he does not get left alone. I don't think for a minute of that guy's life does he ever get left alone. And I sometimes like to, in a pre or post pandemic world, go to the movie theaters by myself and just sit there.
Yeah.
Jeff, brass tacks, let's put a name to it. I want to be Robert Duvall. He is famous enough where he doesn't have to audition. He is famous enough where he can have the career that he wants and probably walk most city streets in the world and be left alone. That's my level. Okay.
Oh.
Who do you want to be?
Oh, okay. Similar. I want to be Kristen Bell. Very similar. I want
roll the credits. Roll the credits, people. That's the difference between Jeff and I.
She's most famous for playing a cartoon character.
Right.
That's fantastic. So you're not walking around where you look exactly like your character. Someone's like, oh my God, gobs of money.
Frozen. You got Frozen money.
Again, money means a lot to me. I want to make as much money as possible in the littlest amount of time and do as little work possible for it. Right.
I think Kristen Bell puts a lot of work into her career.
That's a fair point. That's a fair point. This is how famous I want to be. I want to be famous enough that I can go out to dinner and I can go out to dinner anywhere because I'm Jeff Meacham. But not so much that where I go out, I actually know that if I'm at a restaurant, I'm disturbing other people's night because I'm that famous, right? Like, and again, there's only a few people that are that famous. You know what I mean?
you do disturb other people's nights.
But that's only because of my gas issues. Yeah, that's very different.
That does bring me to my next question. Okay. If you were this famous, what would you do for others, Joel? Hmm. Do you know what you would do for others? What would be your, maybe your cause if you were Tom Cruise famous?
I would build homeless shelters.
Oh, when you say it so kindly like that, I don't want to make a joke because that's really sweet of you.
But
that's
I like really how nice. Your first instinct was to have tried make to a make joke. A joke.
I like that you asked a sincere question and expected a joke. That's what I like.
Me? I'd like to be one of those tree hugger, save the planet kind of people. Pagans? Is that right?
Yes.
I want to, you know, clean it all up, go the Leonardo DiCaprio way, make sure there's no more trash. You know, the planet that we live on, this rock. I've been thinking about it a lot lately, stressing me out whether we might lose the planet, but I don't really know enough. So you get what I'm saying. So I want
to, you kind of have to know stuff to make a difference.
Do you? I just, you know, write a check and pretend I'm stabbing some trash, picking it up. You know. Anyway.
That's how you save the planet. How are you saving the planet, sir?
I'm stabbing trash. Just stabbing trash. Alec, what about you?
The Innocence Project.
What's that?
The Innocence Project helps to
free people. That one?
Right. People have been wrongfully convicted.
Have they?
Well, that's why we need the Innocence Project.
Oh, my God.
That's the one that
God.
Makes me cry every time.
What would you do for yourself? I know we've already kind of discussed it.
The meaningful portion of this podcast has ended, and we're back.
Yeah, we're back.
We're back to our Tom Cruise.
Yes, okay. But with that money, like, what's your weird ask? What's your...
This is nice. Okay, so Innocence Project, Save the Earth, homeless shelters. This is wonderful, which leads me to... Now, how would you divert that money to yourself? Yeah.
So again, moving on.
What extravagant thing would I...
What's most important to you? Is it homes? Is it cars? Is it...
I'd like to get to the point where I have a crazy exotic animal farm.
Oh, I love that.
You know, just like, hey, do you want to come over and see my leopards today?
You want to pet my llama? Yeah. That's a good one. Michael Jackson did that. How did it work out for him?
What about you? Do you have your crazy...
Here's what I want. I want... You know, we've already gotten some questions about why I'm doing this podcast.
I bet you ask yourself that every day.
Couple fans are
Alec.
Like, why is this guy here?
I'd like to get Dodger season tickets.
Oh, there you go.
No, but that's actually why I'm doing this podcast.
We're not talking about the macro fame, specifically meeting Tom Cruise.
Right.
You want enough listeners.
The level of success I need is this podcast to be big enough that Cody Ballinger says, come on down to the stadium.
Oh, you're the guys from Meeting Tom Cruise. Yeah, I love you guys. That's such a great podcast.
That's why I'm here.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure I'm being totally clear with you two. That's actually why I'm doing this show. I got another one.
Go. Moving on.
I want to run for office.
You lost me.
No, I do. And if I had enough
money. Any qualifications?
No.
Oh, that makes sense. Hey, what's your degree in?
Oh, it's in English.
Wait a minute.
It's actually a double major, English and theater. Also,
you have a degree. Oh my God, you're such a nerd.
That is political gold mine.
I read Emily Dickinson, or part of it, some of it.
You would win by a landslide, Lev.
And all you need is to be rich. And that's what I would do with my money. Let's go move on now.
I want to be able to walk into a farmer's market and just buy everything.
For everyone. And go, you know what, everyone? It's on me.
I love the it's on me. Yeah. I love it's on me.
Definitely.
But that is an ego thing. It is an ego thing.
To back that up, I would love to, regardless of the size, tell a whole bar rounds on me.
And going with what Alec's saying, I'm sorry, it's not quite an ego thing. What is wonderful is if someone's having a hard time or they're not making a lot of money, you're just like, I want to buy it all today. I'm going to buy it all today. And then you use that as gifts for other people. Like,
and then,
like
and then they love you more.
And then they love
oh,
you
wait,
more.
So it
oh,
is
that's
an ego
thing.
Thing.
It's an ego thing.
Okay.
Do you think we'll hit top 10 shallowest podcasts when when we come out? Like, do you think that's
what we're going for, right?
Yeah.
It's called Meeting Tom Cruise.
This isn't
right.
Yeah, this isn't the Stop Global Warming podcast.
God, is this just irresponsible to be talking about, right?
Oh, God.
We're going to dive deep down the rabbit hole of
but it can't go deep down because it's so shallow.
It gets so shallow.
Yeah. If you dive in head first, you might break your neck.
We're no longer just talking about Tom Cruise. We're talking about what we want purely for ourselves.
Purely.
Wow. Hold on. I got to take that in for a second.
Drink it up. But don't drink too hard.
Yeah.
Well, it's a light drink.
There's not
much
in there.
Yeah, it's just a little drink.
Shallow.
It's not going to get you that drunk.
Oh, I got one more. I want like a handler. You know, like somebody who, you know, bodyguard, just right hand, you know, just like, you know, like a rock. Like if you're at a restaurant and somebody gives you an evil look, just look at him, nod.
That's it. They're done.
Nobody sees that person again.
Yeah, they're taken out.
I'm not saying he kills him. I'm just saying he can't find him.
You just can't find him.
You're sort of saying he kills him.
Yeah, but you are kind of insinuating that he kills him.
But I didn't say it. Mm. I just said nobody can see that person again.
Including his family?
Yes.
Okay, so.
It sounds like he
killed him.
It does
sound like you've murdered this person in a trunk.
But did I? I just gave a nod to somebody.
Well, how we always like to wrap this up is, so we're all agreeing, we would not want to be that famous. We'd want to be that rich, but we wouldn't want to be that famous. Right?
I don't know. Now that it's being offered to me.
This question of the day was brought to you by The Knock List. Do not let it get out in the open. And now, commercials.
All right, we're here with Gloria Calderon Kellett. She is the co-creator and co-showrunner of the fantastic show One Day at a Time, the award-winning show. Am I right, Gloria?
It's Emmy-winning.
It's yes. Emmy-winning One Day at a Time. True. Congratulations to that.
Thank you.
Gloria, this is a show all about our hero, Tom Cruise, just in case you don't know. But do me a favor. Give me a 30-second synopsis of your life leading up to the first time you met Tom Cruise. Go.
Born in Portland, Oregon. There's a small Cuban community. My parents are Cuban immigrants. They came in 1962. And the Cuban diaspora is very spread out, for those that don't know. So when there was an influx of children that came in 1960, between 60 and 62, called Operation Pedro Pan. Look it up. Very interesting. It's a time when we took in children and we didn't put them in cages. So my parents were put.
Tell us more.
In, yeah, no, it was a real thing. They gave them blankets and toothpaste. It was amazing. So they were put here in a little like detention center facility. And then different churches and organizations, the kindness of strangers, took families in all around the country, because it was 14,000 Cuban kids, and then their families came in as refugees. So about 40 families ended up in Portland, Oregon. And I grew up in a lovely little Cuban community, and then it was real white. So that's why I can code switch. So I can talk like this, and then I can also be like, pero tú sabes, algo está pasando ahora, right? Like I can go back and forth. And then I grew up in a lovely little community in Portland, and I lived there till I was 14. And then I moved to San Diego, and I lived there 4 years, and that was lovely. And then I moved to LA, and I went to Loyola Marymount University. And then after that, I went to University of London for grad school. And then I came back. And my first big Hollywood job was working for Cameron Crowe. And that's where I met Tom Cruise.
Wow.
That was amazing.
That was incredible. Let's go to commercial. Okay, so get us started. Here we are. So something with Cameron Crowe is coming up here, right?
So what happened is I came back from London and I was like, okay, I have a master's degree in performance and playwriting.
Oh, just endless jobs.
No one cares. Here I am in Los Angeles. I don't know anybody in the industry. What do I do? So I literally went to anyone I knew and I was like, if there's any industry job, anything, really, I just wanted to kind of get my foot in the door. And a friend of mine, Chris Hinata, the lovely Chris Hinata, he was working at Cruise Wagner.
Heard of it.
Go on.
There is somebody who we're working with and they need a second assistant. I didn't even know second assistants were a thing. And I couldn't know who it was. And he said, fax, if you're into it. I was working at Houston Century City at the time, RIP. And I said, the best spinach tartar chicken dip in town. Come on, guys. If you are interested, they really would love a writer, because it's a lot of like sitting around waiting for packages signed. You know, it's kind of a lot of thankless work. So they really do want a writer so that somebody can be writing all day. And I was like, wait, writing all day? I get paid to write all day? Like insane. Yes, yes. So I fax my resume because I'm old and we used to use fax machines. Fax my resume. I get a phone call that it is to be Cameron Crowe's second assistant. I lose my mind because, of course, I love Cameron Crowe. Cameron Crowe actually went to my high school.
What?
Yeah, University of San Diego High School. Almost Famous is shot at my high school.
I did not know that.
Yes. What? Yes.
And I mean,
yes,
at this
so
point,
many things you're learning.
Yeah, we've got Almost Famous at this point, Say Anything. Yeah. So he's the Cameron Crowe.
So Jerry I'm Maguire. Obsessed. I'm obviously obsessed with him.
Wow. To be his second assistant?
To be a second assistant, basically the receptionist for Vinyl Films, and the second, and whatever Andy, his main assistant, can
right,
do.
Right, but
I would
you
do.
Are you are to the moon at this point. I mean, that's incredible.
I couldn't believe it. So my first day of work in that we were in a beautiful space. DreamWorks had a beautiful space in Santa Monica on 17th Street and Olympic. And those were where the offices were. So it was also West Side, which was amazing. And so I went in and I parked and I walked inside to my little area. There was a little front reception area with a couch and super cool because, you know, Cameron's cool. There's cool shit on the walls and art and all this. My mind is exploding. And they said, this is where you're going to sit. You're going to answer the phones. You're going to sign for packages when people come in. You're going to, anytime an actor comes in, you're going to talk to them and, you know, be nice and get them water or whatever, coffee. And then Cameron will give you some extra stuff to do if he needs it. So the first day I meet Cameron Crowe was the first day of work.
Oh, my God.
They had just shot Vanilla Sky. And they were in post-production, and these were the post-production facilities that they were editing.
Oh, this is the movie. After the movie.
This
okay.
is after.
Okay.
Shit. Okay.
So they were working on the DVD special release for Almost Famous, simultaneous with post-production on Vanilla Sky.
Wow. That's a crazy time.
Crazy. Crazy time. So I had Tom Cruise on the back of my door. I had Tom Cruise from Top Gun in the white uniform on the back of my door because I come from a Cuban American family where we're not allowed to have posters on our walls. It's your room has to look pristine. But when that door closes, the back of that door is just covered with all my hopes and dreams, which included Tom Cruise in the white suit Top Gun.
This is what we need to hear.
Yeah.
This is what we need to hear. So you loved Cruise post-production. Keep going. What's happening? When do you get to meet him?
The first day that Tom Cruise comes in.
Did you know he was coming in?
I don't remember if I knew he was coming in. But when he walked in through those doors.
Yeah, here we go.
Here's the thing. There are people, I think, that are
gods.
Chemists that are that their very energy and body chemistry changes the temperature of a room.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And you talking about Tom Cruise has changed the temperature of my body.
Right. So I feel like in my memory, I'm at my computer. So what you need to know is when you walked into the Vinyl Films offices, there was like a double door.
Okay.
And then there was my desk and my computer was behind me. So for the most part, I'm like this, right? I'm on my computer.
Facing
and then
away.
I hear the door open and I turn around. In my mind, it's slow motion, me turning. It's slow motion. And then he walks in, immediately sees me. Okay. Not any cool guy. I'm immediately like zero in focus.
That's what we hear. Okay? That's what we hear. Eye contact.
Eye contact, yep. Zero in focus. You're new.
Wow.
Hi, I'm Tom, puts his hand out.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, yes, I know, Tom. I am Gloria. And he says, Gloria, I'm so glad you're here. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I woke up in the ER.
I mean, the rest is a blur.
Yeah.
Two things happening at the same time. One is just the, wow, there is like a movie star. Like there's a vibe to a movie star.
Absolutely. We talked about this.
So
yeah.
He has that movie star vibe, then focuses it all on you for a moment. And you're like, it really is powerful.
Yeah. He gives it to you. That's what we've been talking about it in this podcast. We hear it from everybody. He gives you that moment for you to have.
He gives it to you.
Yeah.
And just so lovely. Every interaction I had with him, so lovely. He was dating Penelope Cruz at the time. Calls her Lupe. And whenever she comes in, we speak Spanish to each other. And that makes me feel very seen.
So you also met her too, who's
yes.
must have been one
oh,
of the
she
most.
Was so love. Oh my God. What a lovely woman.
Oh my goodness.
They were both so sweet. So sweet. Okay, so I'm going to tell you two. I'm going to zero in on two Tom Cruise stories. Okay?
Please, please.
Oh, we get two. We get two, Jeff.
So there was a day when Tom, he was really into Snapple for whatever reason. Okay.
I liked Snapple.
So there was a kerfuffle because we did not have the Snapple in the fridge. We had Snapple.
But not his
was
Snapple.
No, we had the right Snapple, Jeff. It wasn't in the refrigerator cold.
Oh, it was room temp.
It was room temp.
Now, was
oh,
there a
boy.
Specific
so I say,
flavor of
so
the Snapple?
Do you remember the God. Flavor he liked? Was it raspberry? Because that's mine.
I don't remember the flavor, you guys. I'm so sorry.
Arnold Palmer.
I'm so sorry.
Peach?
If it comes
was
to
it
me,
peach?
If it it might have been peach. It wasn't
peach.
Kiwi strawberry was my favorite Snapple. It wasn't that.
Uh-huh. Mine was raspberry.
So I say, oh, he's usually 30 minutes. Like if we get a call, like he's coming to edit, like everybody beware, he's coming to edit. It's usually about 30 minutes. I'll put the Snapples in the freezer by the time he gets here. Yeah. And then I can put it on ice. It's going to be perfect.
Problem solving.
No. Send the PA out to get cold Snapple. Okay. So we send the PA out. The PA goes to four different places, cannot find that freaking Snapple.
Come on, people. Get the Snapple on ice.
Tom comes in. There's a panic. People are fucking freaking out. I'm trying to converse with him, which I never usually do. I usually let him do his thing. I'm like, how are you? What's going on? Because I'm trying to hold it up while the PA finds the Snapple. Finally, it's just too long. I have to ask him what he wants to drink. So I'm like, what can I get you, Tom? Diet Pepsi. Diet Pepsi. So I got him a Diet Pepsi.
And this is the problem with fame. Tom doesn't know. He doesn't care what kind of drink he gets, but they're like, oh, we're going to get fired if we don't get the right temperature of Snapple. He doesn't.
And I was like, if he knew. So then.
Right.
So then this is a different day, but also a similar type of story. He says, hey, Gloria, by any chance, is there tuna in the kitchen? And I said, yeah, there's tuna. And he goes, I hate to do this. Could you make me a tuna sandwich? Tom, it would be my...
Simple question.
Tom, it would be my pleasure to make you a tuna sandwich. You want some tomatoes on that tuna sandwich? I would love some tomatoes. Awesome. I'm going to make you a tuna sandwich. So I go in. I make... So lovingly do I make this tuna sandwich. His assistant at the time comes down in a fucking panic. Gloria. Because I'm like finishing. It's toasted. You guys, you've never seen a more beautiful sandwich. Okay. It's toasted. I'm cutting it in half. There's the tomato. Glory. You know that sandwich is for Tom, right? Yeah, I know it's for, it's a tuna sandwich. Let me put my special Tom. He loved my tuna sandwich. Got lots of compliments on it. I fed and nourished Tom Cruise. The greatest story I have, however.
Pump the brakes. Let's hear that story right after these messages. We now return to Gloria Calderon-Kellett.
The greatest story I have, however.
Oh, my God. I can't believe that was just a warm-up.
No,
that
gonna,
was an appetizer.
You're
going
to lose your... Listen, I hope you're wearing diapers because you're about to shit your pants, okay?
Oh, no. I already finished.
Here we go. Cameron comes downstairs. Glow, need you in editing. Oh, okay. Need you to do me a big favor. We're working on the end of this movie. We're all kind of... we're just up to our ears in it and we just need fresh eyes. So here's what we're going to do.
Oh my God.
I'm going to play you the scene. So I he's talking to me as I'm walking up the stairs to editing. Okay. So I walk into editing. It's Joe, his editor. It's Cameron. It's Tom. I'm going to play you the end of the movie. Tom is going to be over your left shoulder doing the voiceover that we're going to eventually put in. Okay.
Wait, so he's you're saying the voiceover is not been put into the movie yet?
No, he's gonna Tom say Cruise. It he's right here and he's gonna say it as I'm watching. Okay,
my legs are crossed for a reason. I'm so happy. Go on.
And then we want to talk to you about it. Okay. I said okay. So to tell you that I'm having an out-of-body experience as I'm trying to thoughtfully watch the end of this movie and pretend that I don't have literally right here.
The biggest movie star in the world.
By the way, acting his brains out. Oh my God.
He wasn't just phoning it in?
No. He is. I mean, I feel like spit got on me and maybe I didn't shower for a week. You know what I mean? I couldn't tell you what I saw. I don't know what I said after because I don't remember what your opinion was.
Yeah, of course.
I don't know. But just because the whole time I was thinking, what the fuck is my life? Like I am watching my favorite writer director is to my right, intensely looking at nobody me, 25-year-old Gloria, who hasn't done anything yet, doesn't know about story breaking or doesn't. I wish they'd ask me now. I have a lot of thoughts. And then the biggest movie star in the world is on my left and he is out over my shoulder acting his brains out with his voiceover. It was one of the greatest moments of my life.
Oh, my goodness.
Like imagine she left. She gave the feedback And then Cameron and Tom look at, she didn't like it. We got to change it. We got to reshoot it. We got to reshoot it. Lori didn't like it. I could tell.
But he was so kind. Always knew my name. Always remembered my name. A class act. A real class act. Truly.
Gloria, we cannot thank you enough for being on our show. Gloria Calderon, is there anything you want to tell the audience? Anything about you right now? Just where they can find you?
You can find me on Twitter, especially if you're a creative. I have I do a lot of Q&As and I'm always available. I have a free Hollywood 101 video on YouTube. It's through BuzzFeed's Better Like channel. It's 10 episodes that I think any writer or creator can watch and sort of get a little sense of how to start in the industry. And One Day at a Time is going to be on CBS. Please check it out.
And as always, we like to end our show answering a few questions from the internet. And from Instagram, What Laura Wrote asks, do your wives support your Tom Cruise obsession, smiley face?
Oh, yeah. Mm. I mean, you guys know that my wife met Tom Cruise and therefore I married her. So
right. It was part of the prenup.
Yeah. Do you know, I told you already that we walked into our reception to the song Danger Zone.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sorry, I was half paying attention. It sounded like I walked into my wife's Danger Zone.
Yeah, man.
Okay.
On our wedding, I got into her danger zone.
All right. This podcast is, in fact, hosted by Jeff Meacham and Joel Johnstone. It's produced by me, Alec Lev. Our executive producers are...
Mine's called Maverick. Hers is called Charlie.
Doug Matica and Dan Patrick.
That'd be fun. That'd be fun. Like, what good call signs could you come up with, like, euphemisms?
For your junk.
Our engineer and mixer is Alex Reeves for Point of Blue Studios.
Yeah, Bobcat.
Editing by Alec Lev with additional editing by wolf. Alex Reeves. Music by and Matthew Atticus Berger.
Slick Rick.
Artwork by Rebecca Montoya.
Joel, what did you, did you guys enter to any music at your reception?
Executive produced by Paul Anderson and Nick Pinella for Workhouse Media.
Yeah, we actually entered a Bruno Mars Uptown Funk, believe it or not.
And so stupid.
We are a production of Meeting So-and-So in association with Workhouse Media.
Which you weren't invited to and you chose not to go, so.
Why didn't I come to your wedding?
You could find us online at Meeting Crews on Twitter and Instagram. Check out our website and show notes at www.meetingtomcruise.com. And you can email us at contact@meetingtomcruise.
Well, why didn't I come to your wedding?
Because you're a dick.
That makes sense.
If you listen on Apple Podcasts, please leave us a review, maybe a 5-star rating. It really helps the show. Meeting Tom Cruise was created by Jeff Meacham and Alec Lev.
Meeting Tom Cruise is a production of the Dan Patrick Podcast Network and iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This podcast will self-destruct in 5 seconds.
Bang.